Hi there, I'm your host, Lisa Shield. Welcome to Dating Without Drama, where I give you my unique take on everything related to men, love, dating, and romantic relationships. Let's get started.
Hello, everybody. This is Lisa and Benjamin Shield, and it's getting inside the right male mind. And this is really an excuse for me to get to hang out with my husband on Sunday mornings. This is at 10 a.m. Mountain Time every Sunday. And it gives me the opportunity and us the opportunity to just hang out and talk. Benjamin and I often have some very beautiful and deep conversations about love and relationships and dating. He, during the pandemic, I was very fortunate. His misfortune was my fortune, my great fortune, in that Benjamin started to work with me in my business because he touches people for a living and he couldn't do his work. And so he came and he started to work with me, and he comes now on all of my Q&A calls with my women, which is just remarkable because they get the benefit of hearing his absolutely profound and unique insights into this topic or these topics. And so I thought, wow, what if we could just share this with the world? What if this beautiful man, who I think is just such a treasure, if I could get him on a Sunday morning to just spend a little time with me and with all of you and open up his heart and mind and share himself. I think Benjamin has a way of articulating things that all men think and feel, but they can't put it into words the way that he can. They can't articulate it. And the thing about my husband, after 19 years, we actually just celebrated our 19th anniversary together. And trust me, it is not a cliche when people say time flies when you're having fun, right, baby? Yeah, it's been amazing. But these 19 years have flown by.
Too fast.
Too fast. Like, our only regret is that we can't go back and just do them all over again. But anyway, in these 19 years, I've come to just love and respect and admire the way my husband looks at the world. And I know that he is both a true masculine man who has a foot fully grounded in his masculinity. And at the same time, he lives in his heart. And so to hear the way he talks about some of the things that men think and feel is really brilliant. So, honey, thank you for doing this.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Thank you, baby. All right. So today's topic, which I think is going to be a fun one, and I just came up with this very much off the cuff yesterday. We're going to talk about what it's like for men when women start processing. So, first of all, why don't you define from a male perspective what processing is?
Well, it's to describe something that's not linear. It's difficult to describe it in a linear way. So if a man speaks with another man and there's an issue or some discussion to be made, it's fairly linear and it uses as few words as possible. When a woman processes, and I don't mean to overgeneralize, and it's also in no way meaning to demean or make one way better than the other, but it's like this global massive words come and you think that you understand, then again it's over here and then over there, and there's a point where you just kind of sit back and nod.
And what happens? What happens for you? Do you start to tune out? Do you just get cross-eyed? You know, what is the feeling inside of you? Like, what I'm hearing is the minute you think you've got it and you're going in a certain direction, we switch.
Right. And so I think we want to be there, truly. We want to be there. But there's a dissociation where we begin to disconnect, and we just allow the space for, you know, the woman to say whatever she needs to say, however she needs to say it. But for a man who thinks fairly linearly, it's difficult to sometimes follow. The tendency is to want to jump in and give someone a solution, if for no other reason than to end the conversation.
And one of the big criticisms that women seem to have, or one of the big frustrations that we have with men, is that we often feel like we want to talk, and that talking and processing is how we connect, right? We connect verbally with other women, and we feel like when we're talking and we're sharing our thoughts and our, you know, emotions and our inner worlds with our men, we feel like that's how you get to know us. And it sounds like it can be very confusing for men, because they just get lost in all the words, and they don't quite know what we're trying to say. And so men, being true to their nature, they want to fix, or they want to come in with solutions, and, you know, they want to fix the situation. And what we really want is for you to listen to us, but you get lost in the words. And it's almost like, I'm guessing for men, it renders you helpless in a way.
It does. And we know that we do some good by just allowing the space to happen. And maybe that's all that's needed ever. It may not be important that we have to follow everything that is said. A woman who has more access to both hemispheres of her brain at any given moment, where a man tends to be more in one hemisphere or the other, that it can be almost impossible sometimes to follow. Mm-hmm. And so it's really respecting the other, you know, the partner, and allowing space. And knowing that, and I don't mean to say this in any demeaning way, knowing that it may not be leading anywhere. The need may simply be to be able to air something and to have someone there to listen.
I totally get it. I really want to, before we go into that, baby, I want to talk about how frustrating it must feel, you know, for women and for men. We so want to connect, right? We want to connect. And the way women connect is verbally. We talk. And I know, even as much as I'm aware of all of this, you know, the things that we're talking about right now, I try to really pay attention. There are moments where I just slip into processing. I do. It's just so deeply ingrained in who I am as a woman. And even very masculine women who are very much in their masculine brain, when they start just communicating and they forget themselves, right? And they're talking and they're trying to connect with a man, we naturally are wired to slip into processing. Mm-hmm. And I do, by the way, I want to put an asterisk here, that I believe, and I have no data to back this up, although I think it's probably true, I think that some men who have been raised around a lot of sisters and a lot of and single mothers, they probably are much easier, you know, they have a much easier time going there with a woman, because they've been around that kind of thinking and whatever for so long, that some men can do that who have been raised with sisters and mothers who, you know, you're laughing.
Well, I'm laughing because there's a difference between being able to do that and to be able to understand that. So a man raised, you know, with a single mother or a lot of sisters or whatever the situation may be, may have learned to gracefully create the space and listen and not create solutions, at least prematurely or without being asked. So, yeah.
All right. Well, I get that. Okay. I'll give you that. I do know for a lot of women that we can inadvertently just slip into processing. But I'm kind of curious from your perspective, what do we do about this? Like, what can women do at our end to become more aware of this and to make it easier for men? Like, what, give some solutions.
Well, I think one solution is to understand how a man processes and, you know, to really understand the difference. And a man often processes in silence or just spacing out for a while, you know, just doing a task where he's just totally involved in it, or, you know, turning on a football game and giving his brain kind of rest and knowing he'll come back to it. I don't know if there's a solution. You know, I think that there is a difference between the way men and women communicate and the way that men and women process. And I think the solution is more understanding, so it's not frustrating. I think if we understand that, well, yeah, she just had this issue come up and I need to give her space and I need to be there for her. And there could be nothing more important for me in the world than to be with her at that moment. And I don't have to follow things moment to moment, and because it could be head turning.
So one thing I know that you do for me is that when I start to process, you will say, babe, I think you're starting to process. I've given you all I can. Like, I told you how I feel. And that's really all I have on this subject. And if you want to talk about it further, you may want to call a girlfriend. And you say that so lovingly and kind, you know, with such love and kindness. I know a lot of men don't have the self-awareness in those moments to say that. If a woman is really paying attention and not just going on and on and on, but she's looking at her guy, she can see him glossing over. She can see him starting to just pull away, or, you know, get cross-eyed. And so part of it is paying attention to that.
Right. I remember one relationship that broke up abruptly, that a woman was processing and processing and processing. And I found myself slowly moving towards the door. You know, it was like she wouldn't notice, and which of course she did, but, you know, it was just going on, and I would take a step and then another step.
Oh my God.
it ended that night.
I had the same thing happen with another guy, only he was literally walking backwards out the door. And he said, I cannot talk about this anymore. And he was literally walking backwards, like my words were pushing him out the door. It was one of the low points in my relationship history. And I realized, you know, I always had this idea that if two people could talk about something, they could get to a consensus. But I realized that, you know, all I was doing was talking and talking and talking. The other thing I know women can do, and I really do think this is a great tip for all the women listening, is to know that men do not process externally. They process their answers and their ideas internally. And so most men, even when you are talking, they may be having thoughts, but we keep going so quickly and we talk so fast, and we, that if you ask a man a question, you have to give him time to answer it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been said that the best thing you can do is, you know, say something or ask a question and then just start to count slowly to 30 in your mind, because it can take 30 seconds or more, and they may seem like an eternity, but don't think that that man isn't thinking. He is, but we often are, you know, quickly jump to an answer because a guy doesn't just shoot back an answer quickly. And then we just step right over him.
Yeah. And we do take time. we do need time to, in our own way, to process. And again, as you say, that process is an internal process and often a silent process. And often when we respond, because we've had that chance to think about things, that it's with as few words as possible, but ideally the most important words possible.
Yeah. I just know, you know, one of the things that I teach the women who are doing my 12-week emotionally naked dating course, and this is something that if you're interested, please go to lisashield.com. I have a 45-minute presentation that women love. And if you really like what you hear, you can sign up for a call at the end to speak with me or a member of my team about how we can help you. This course is amazing. And one of the things that I teach the women in my course is that when you talk to a man about a deep subject, something like commitment or where is this relationship going or anything, marriage and children and all of those things, a man may not be able to give you a perfect answer right there on the spot. He cannot often process that information right away, and he needs to be able to go away and think about it. And it's not just, you know, do I want to have kids or do I want to get married? But it's also, do I want to have kids and get married to this woman right here? And he may need some time and not be able to give you an answer on the spot. So it may be that you seed that conversation, you know, you plant some seeds and then you revisit it a week or two or three later when he's had some time alone to really compose his thoughts. Mm-hmm. Is that not true, honey?
Yeah. And I think a lot of men may seem ambivalent. Like if a
in the moment.
In the moment. Like a woman may say, what movie would you like to see? Or where would what would you like for dinner? And he may answer, I don't care. What would you like? Only because he hasn't had a chance to process it. If he had a chance to process, he may say, I'm craving fried chicken, or, you know, let's go to this new restaurant. But often he doesn't give himself the chance to process, and he'll seem wishy-washy. He'll seem ambivalent, like, I don't know, what would you like to do? Because he can't come up with an answer as quickly as he might.
Yeah. As women, we often feel like we're doing all the work in the relationship. And that's something that I was thinking about this morning, that women often feel, why? Well, so I process and he doesn't. And, you know, how come I'm supposed to, you know, accommodate my guy? And why can't my guy learn how to accommodate me? Can you talk about that? Like about women having to do or feeling like we have to do all the work in the relationship so that we can make it comfortable for you?
I think in relationships, for the most part, men are okay. Basically, if you ask a man how he's feeling, I'm not thirsty, I'm doing okay. And I think our needs are much simpler. Occasionally we need space, we'll need time with our friends and all that. But for the most part, we just want things to be easy. And I think women, out of necessity over the millennia, have to look for complexities, are very aware of the environment and the intrinsic details that they have to keep track of that a man doesn't.
Mm-hmm. And we're just more tuned into that. Like, that's really, like, men, it's not their nature. You know, when they're growing up, they're not thinking about marriage and babies and having a family and... It's so ingrained in a woman's mind, right? And I think also because we do have children and from such an early age, I mean, this is wired into us hormonally for a lot of women that we will have children and then we're going to want to get married and have babies and all. And we're thinking about this because choosing a father for our children is really a big thing. It really is. So we're so tuned into relationship from such an early age. And for men, I think it's like they don't really think about marriage and children at all until they meet some fabulous woman that they're really like, wow, okay, there she is. And then those things start, those, you know, wow, I think I've met the woman that I want to, you know, get married to and have babies with. Is that true?
It is. It is. And there are some men that you know, grow up, particularly those with that come from large families that really want kids and they want to settle. But I think for most men, you're absolutely right. That biological drive to have kids isn't really there. The biological drive to procreate is, but not necessarily to have kids at the same time.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, back to our subject at hand. I digressed a little bit there, but I do think that that is such a big thing because we're talking about this very real issue between women and men. And it does feel for women like, God, you know, how come it's always me having to change my behavior to make him feel comfortable, right? There was a couple that came to see me, and I really want to share this story because I think it's so wonderful. This couple, and you know, a lot of couples, when I was coaching couples back in the day, I saw this come up a lot. This was a very, very common theme that would come up, this idea that men would try to fix women and women just wanted to process and talk and connect, right? And many, many relationships really get contentious. The woman doesn't feel like she's being heard and the man doesn't feel like he's being heard. I think if I were to stand in a man's shoes, men want to feel heroic. They want to feel it like, here's my beautiful woman, my damsel in distress, and I've got this, right? She's struggling with an issue or a problem, and I'm going to be her hero, and I'm going to give her a solution. And then the guy swoops in with the solution, and the woman is like crushed.
Yeah.
She's crushed. And the man is his heroic gestures. He feels emasculated because he thought, I've got this, right? And the woman's like, no, you don't. And so both people have such good intentions and they're both sitting there, you know, just wanting to connect. And they both completely just feel devastated, right? And so here was this beautiful couple that I was coaching, and they really loved each other. And I could see how hard this man was trying to make his girlfriend happy, or fiance. I think she was his fiance. I just sat back and I listened to what the issue was. You know, I was listening to what he was saying, what they were saying. And of course, it was this, that she wasn't feeling heard and he was trying to solve her problems. And they just kept going like this, butting heads. So I looked at him and I said, I know you want to help her and I know you want to give her solutions to her problems. And I said, all she really wants is for you to sit and listen and just hold a space for her to share without fixing it, without coming up with any kind of solution. She just wants you to listen. And you can even say to her, look, I'm sorry you're feeling that way, or I can hear how hurt you are, but just empathize with her. And this guy looked at me and he said, really? Really? Like, that's all I have to do? He was like, oh my God, I can do that. It was absolutely like the skies opened and the birds were singing and the sun, the angels were flying. And this man, he was like, oh, I can do that. That's all I need to do. And it was the most wonderful thing to see the look on his face. He was like, I got this. It was so wonderful. So there's a great piece, and I read this every so often in my course, my 12-week emotionally naked dating course. Please just sit back, because what I'm about to read, it's a little long, so just bear with me. It's probably gonna take about 5 minutes to read it. This is written by Dave Barry, who is a comedic writer, and he uses humor, you know, to provide fresh insights into everyday problems and issues. And this was written back in 1995. Dave Barry wrote a book called Complete Guide to Guys. And this passage is still getting people talking 20, what, however many years later. This is called The Difference Between Men and Women. Let's say a guy named Roger is attracted to a woman named Elaine. He asks her out to a movie. She accepts, and they have a pretty good time. A few nights later, he asks her out to dinner, and again, they enjoy themselves. They continue to see each other regularly, and after a while, neither one of them is seeing anybody else. And then one evening, when they're driving home, a thought occurs to Elaine, and without really thinking, she says it aloud. Do you realize that as of tonight, we've been seeing each other for exactly 6 months? And then there is silence in the car. To Elaine, it seems like a very loud silence. She thinks to herself, geez, I wonder if it bothers him that I said that. Maybe he's been feeling confined by our relationship. Maybe he thinks I'm trying to push him into some kind of obligation that he doesn't want or isn't sure of. And Roger is thinking, gosh, 6 months. And Elaine is thinking, but hey, I'm not so sure I want this kind of relationship either. Sometimes I wish I had a little more space so I'd have time to think about whether I really want us to keep going the way we are, moving steadily toward, I mean, where are we going? Are we just going to keep seeing each other at this level of intimacy? Are we heading toward marriage, toward children, toward a lifetime together? Am I ready for that level of commitment? Do I really even know this person? And Roger is thinking, so that means it was, let's see, February when we started going out, which was right after I had the car at the dealer's, which means, let me check the odometer. Whoa, I am way overdue for an oil change here. And Elaine is thinking, he's upset. I can see it on his face. Maybe I'm reading this completely wrong. Maybe he wants more from our relationship, more intimacy, more commitment. Maybe he has sensed, even before I sensed it, that I was feeling some reservations. Yes, I bet that's it. That's why he's so reluctant to say anything about his own feelings. He's afraid of being rejected. And Roger is thinking, and I'm going to have them look at the transmission again. I don't care what those morons say. It's still not shifting right. And they better not try to blame it on the cold weather this time. What cold weather? It's 87 degrees out and this thing is shifting like a garbage truck. And I paid those incompetent thieves $600. And Elaine is thinking, he's angry. And I don't blame him. I'd be angry too. I feel so guilty putting him through this, but I can't help the way I feel. I'm just not sure. And Roger is thinking, they'll probably say it's only a 90-day warranty. Scumballs. And Elaine is thinking, maybe I'm just too idealistic, waiting for a knight to come riding up on his white horse when I'm sitting right next to a perfectly good person, a person I enjoy being with, a person I truly do care about, a person who seems to truly care about me. A person who is in pain because of my self-centered schoolgirl romantic fantasy. And Roger is thinking, warranty? They want a warranty? I'll give them a warranty and I'll take their warranty. And Roger, Elaine says aloud, what? Roger says, startled. Please don't torture yourself like this, she says, her eyes beginning to brim with tears. Maybe I should never have. Oh God, I feel so, she breaks down sobbing. What, says Roger. I'm such a fool, Elaine sobs. I mean, I know there's no night. I really know that it's silly. There's no night and there's no horse. There's no horse, says Roger. You think I'm a fool, don't you? Elaine says. No, says Roger, glad to finally know the correct answer. It's that I need some time, Elaine says. There is a 15-second pause while Roger, thinking as fast as he can, tries to come up with a safe response. Finally, he comes up with one he thinks might work. Yes, he says. Elaine, deeply moved, touches his hand. Oh, Roger, do you really feel that way? She says. What way? Says Roger. That way, about time, says Elaine. Oh, says Roger. Yes. Elaine turns to face him and gazes deeply into his eyes, causing him to become very nervous about what she might say next, especially if it involves a horse. At last, she speaks. Thank you, Roger, she says. Thank you, says Roger. Then he takes her home and she lies on her bed, a conflicted, tortured soul, and weeps until dawn. Whereas when Roger gets back to his place, he opens a bag of Doritos, immediately turns on the TV, and becomes deeply involved in a rerun of a tennis match between two Czechoslovakians he's never heard of. A tiny voice in the far recesses of his mind tells him that something major was going on back there in the car, but he is pretty sure there is no way he would ever understand what. And so he figures it's better if he just doesn't think about it. The next day, Elaine will call her closest friend, or perhaps two of them, and they will talk about the situation for six straight hours. In painstaking detail, they will analyze everything she said and everything he said, going over it time and time again, exploring every word, expression, and gesture for nuances of meaning, considering every possible ramification. They will continue to discuss this subject off and on for weeks, maybe months, never reaching any definite conclusions, but never getting bored with it either. Meanwhile, Roger, while playing racquetball one day with a mutual friend of his and Elaine's, will pause just before serving, frown, and say, Norm, did Elaine ever own a horse? And that's the difference between men and women.
Beautiful.
So I hope you all enjoyed that. I know it was a long read, but it's a wonderful, wonderful post. So yeah,
perfect. Honey,
how did you talk about that, your experience of that from a male perspective?
It was spot on. You know, I think even the more in the back of Roger's mind that he felt something major had happened, the more he was drawn to two Czechoslovakian playing tennis in a rerun that he'd never heard of before. And just like he knows that it'll eventually sort itself out. He doesn't have to figure it out.
And that's how men feel. Yeah, this is really what men go through. You know, women are so caught up in the machinations in their minds and in overthinking. And, you know, I want to talk about the overthinking even separate and apart just from men and the impact that it has on a man in the relationship. And I'm going to segue here for a moment, babe, to what we see in our course with the women. Like, one of the things that we see is how the women just overprocess, how Elaine called her girlfriends and just went over and over and over this subject and just like thought it to death. Yeah. And still, even weeks and months later, which is really true, that she was processing. And how much we see this with the women in the course. I mean, it's just, as a man, I'm kind of curious what you see.
Well, I like to say that every solution has a problem.
Touche.
So there are some things that are very simple that could be really, really be made problematic. And for a woman, overthinking It takes her out of the relationship because it tries to analyze something from afar in a way. Mm-hmm. Even though it seems like she's very into it, but being in her head takes her a step away from the relationship.
Well, and it keeps her in the problem. It just keeps her stuck in the problem, overthinking it, overanalyzing it. And there's, you know, there's no way often for women to get above it, you know, to get until they just meet the next guy, and then they're on to the, you know, processing that one, and then the next one, and then the next one.
Yeah. And the guy has no idea what's going on. He's stepping into not a minefield, but into a thought process he isn't a part of and doesn't understand, nor would he understand why things are problematic, because things are going along nicely. They're progressing, you know, two people like each other, and we'll see where it goes. He's not looking way into the future. He's not analyzing the date that, you know, from the night before. He just said, yeah, we had a great time and I look forward to the next one. And intimacy may be growing, trust and safety may be growing, and it may be moving along nicely, but he doesn't think that much about it.
Yeah. And even one of the things that we see is, you know, which I think is a death trap for women. And I want to caution, you know, everybody listening, this is all the women who are on this, you know, listening to this. I really think that this is so important because we're really seeing this a lot right now in our course. We have a mastermind group, which is a very high level group, and then a mid-tier, and then our foundational course. So there are three courses when women work with me that they can take advantage of. And as we study the women more closely in the higher level courses, what we see is when they're starting to get into relationship and there's the men, what we teach them in the course, it's called emotionally naked dating. So they're learning how to be emotionally naked and vulnerable and to create a safe space for a man to open up and become vulnerable with them. But what happens is, when these men start to become vulnerable with the women take that as almost like this ticket, like this, like go ahead, that suddenly this man opened up to me in this way that no other man has opened up to me before. And he's so interested in me, and this is different than anything else. And so they take that as license to suddenly just assume, like, this is it, we're getting married, I found my guy.
And she may have. Men need women for their processing when they're vulnerable, because even with their best friends, they can't share that, they often can't share that level of vulnerability with a male friend as they could with a woman. It completes the circuitry, and we need women for that. It's the only place we can get it. And that builds trust and safety and intimacy. But it doesn't mean that a man suddenly starts thinking about, this is the relationship of my life. It's just like, this is really wonderful. I love spending time with her. I love being able to speak with her. And we'll see where it goes.
But what we're seeing is relationships also cauterized very quickly because the woman takes that as, you know, starts to get ahead of her. She's like, oh my God. And she's over processing and she's thinking, this is it. And she gets ahead of herself. And so what's happening is they have this kind of superpower. They start to realize that they can show up as that woman who can get a man to open up to her. And then they get so caught up in that too quickly. And they start to process and overprocess and, oh my God, he opened up to me and whatever. And that's just the beginning, right? But they start overprocessing and thinking that it's, you know, just because a man opened up on a date and that you were able to create that space by doing this work that we do in the course, it doesn't mean you, if you nurture this, and you give that time to grow, but it's that over-processing that women do where they start to attach meaning to that and make it mean something, and then they blow it up, and they blow up the relationship very quickly as a result.
Right. I think overthinking leads to tripping over oneself. And do I send this text? Do I, right. Should I include this emoji or that emoji? Instead of men are tend to be looser, and we don't attach the meaning to things that a woman might.
Yeah. It's also that, like, again, it's like that Dave Barry thing where there's, you know, it might be a little bit of a different scenario. Oh, he opened up to me, and no man has ever opened up to me before like this. And there's such a connection, and they get so caught up. And then they're, you know, the guy might send them one line in a text, and they send a whole paragraph. Right. And, you know, and then the guy responds with a few words, and then there's more, you know, just like in the Dave Barry thing. And it we see it play out. But in this case, you know, it's that they had a good date. There was a little bit of intimacy. And I think what I'm wanting listeners to really hear is it is important when that happens to understand when a man opens up to you, he may need some breathing room after that, right? You will suffocate him if you keep expecting that kind of intensity just because, you know, it may have happened on a date where you're sitting candlelight and a glass of wine and the man is looking into your big, beautiful eyes and, you know, he's mesmerized, he's intoxicated and in the moment and opening up to you, right? The next day, he's going to need some space even just to process what happened that night himself.
Right. And if he's shared something that he's never shared before, if it involves shame or pain.
A failed relationship.
Exactly. He may retract. You know, he may feel shameful for sharing it. He may feel that emotions, feelings came up that he has to process, and he doesn't want to go into it the next day or maybe even the next week. You know, he said what he needs to say and sharing some very painful things with a woman, but he now has to process it within himself.
Yeah. And it's important to give space to that. Like, not, you know, if there is an opening up on a date and a sharing, an intimate sharing, that women can often expect, now we've reached this new level. And so we're going to stay at that level. And it is so important to know and for women to remember that it can be just as deep or even more so to be laughing and having fun together and playing together as it is to be talking about, you know, issues or problems from the past or things that happened with exes or whatever, right? It can be just as deep or even more so, more connected, more intimate when you're just having fun together. And so there's got to be a play of, you know, especially for men, if there is depth and opening and sharing for a very masculine man, he will go deep with you, but he also wants to offset that, you know, with lightness of being and play and fun. He cannot swim in the deep waters all the time with a woman. And I know so many women crave that. They crave that. And they think that they're connecting with a man when they're, you know, when they're in that space. But men need breathing room. Yeah. They can't handle it. They can't.
Yeah. For a man, when a woman overthinks, it usually leads to darkness. You know, there's very little overthinking that leads to lightness and play and fun. Overthinking usually dwells in problems and intricacies of problems, and it puts a pall over the relationship.
Something else, yes, it does. And something else that you have told me in the past, which I really think is invaluable on this subject, is that when a man opens up and he shares something, like about his marriage or his ex or whatever, or his job or his, I don't know, something in his past with his family. If he's opening up and sharing that, he doesn't want to process it. Mm-hmm. He wants to say, this is what happened. This is how it affected me. This is what went on for me. But he doesn't want, well, why and what happened? Right. And tell me, you know, what were you thinking? And
Right. It will make a man not want to share in the future.
Yeah. The last thing he wants to do is sit and process it. We had a woman who was dating this man and she really wanted to get to know him. And when she was getting an Uber home or something, they were standing waiting for the Uber to come. And he opened up and he said, you know, I really got hurt in my last relationship with my last girlfriend. And that was it. And she was very unsatisfied. She came on a call and she said, yeah, it wasn't, you know, like that's all he said. And I was thinking, wow, he really opened up to you. Like that's male vulnerability, you know, that is real male vulnerability. Just admitting that he got hurt was huge for a man to say to a woman, you know, and she felt unsatisfied and disappointed. And for him, like, he probably had to go home and, you know, and have a scotch or something when he went inside after that. I mean, that was a huge admission. And I think a lot of women would want to sit there and go, well, what happened? And tell me about it. And what did she do? And maybe down the line, there would have been a chance to have that conversation. But that right there was the beginning of this man opening up to her. Yeah. Is that right, babe?
Yeah. And it may lead to the end. Yeah. Because if sharing something painful leads to something even more painful, going into the details at a time that he doesn't want to, things will come out. Things that are important will come out. They don't have to come out all at once. And I think sometimes with women and their girlfriends, there's an immediacy to try to figure things out.
Yeah. So I think some of the takeaways are, give men some space. Don't think when a man is trying to give you a solution or fix the problem that he's not interested. That's what they're wired to do. Take some time to count and, you know, wait to give a man a chance to answer. And if you look in his eyes and you see him glazing over and the conversation has been going on a long time, take a deep breath and just know you can pick it up again another time or whatever. You know, don't expect men to just come up with solutions immediately, especially when you're asking something that's very deep, like about commitment and a future and, you know, all of those things. He may not know precisely in that moment. He may need time to just go away and catch his breath and think about it. Men process internally and women process externally. We would go and call our girlfriends and talk about it, you know, and try to sort it out or do that with a therapist or with our mother or sister. But a man is going to go inside himself and don't think that he's not thinking about it. He is. Men do, by and large, take these things seriously. And good men really do think deeply about these things. But if you ask a question and you want to know an answer to something important, say to him, you don't have to give me an answer right now. Why don't we come back and talk about this? You know, why don't you take some days to think about it? And maybe we can come back next Saturday or on the weekend and, you know, and just revisit it. And
perfect. And one almost final thing is the words that men fear the most. Can we talk or can we talk later? That's the worst. You know, like a woman has been processing something. A man has no idea. And to say, can we talk later? He just begins to fear the worst.
Yeah, he'll actually try to avoid you. He will try to avoid you with that. And what you can say is, hey, there's something I would love to share with you. And that sounds inviting. That sounds like an invitation. There's something I would love to share with you. a man is going to be very excited about that. But if you say we need to talk, it's going to probably, you know, send him running for the hills. The very first thing he's going to do is think, oh my God, what did I do wrong? Right. And then he's going to start to feel shame, even if you haven't said a word.
Right. It reminds me of a guy getting pulled over and the guy saying, all right, how fast was I going? just knows he's going to be in trouble. He doesn't necessarily know why or, you know, the ramifications, but can we talk later means you're in trouble or there's a problem that is really a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other thing is when a man opens up to you, just a takeaway, do not think that he wants to go on the next date and have more deep conversations. You know, he may be all deep conversationed out and I just want to hang out and have fun and have some lightness. So you've got to really balance the depth, you know, the lightness and the depth, because men just are not usually up for lots and lots of deep, intense conversation. So give them space and understand that a little deep conversation for a man is like weeks and months of deep conversation for a woman. This has been Getting Inside the Right Male Mind. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
If there is a topic that you would like for us to discuss, please send me an email. I would love to hear from you. You can reach me. It's lisa@lisashield.com. I would love for you to bring up some subjects that you would like for Benjamin and me to discuss. We are always open. The best suggestions come from all of you. So please help us out here. And last of all, please go to lisashield.com. Click on the link to watch my free 45-minute presentation. If you like what you hear and you want to learn more about what I do, you can book a call to talk to me or a member of my team, and we will show you how you can find the guardian of your soul. All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day. Bye.